And good morning, KRFY listeners, and thanks for tuning in to the KRFY Morning Show. This is Wednesday, April 9th, and I'm Susie Prez. Today I'll be talking with Forest Bird Charter School Executive Director Mary Jensen and high school English teacher and in charge of project-based learning, Wendy Thompson. So welcome and thanks for coming in, Mary Jensen.
Hi, Susie. I'm so glad to be here again. Thanks for the invite.
It's warm and cozy in here. And
it is.
I love talking to the charter school. It's one of our gems, I think. And Wendy Thompson, thanks for coming in and joining us. First time on the radio, and it's a lot of fun. So
that's right. That's why I'm silent so far.
She's not usually always silent, so watch out.
We're glad to have you, and we're going to find out all about the Forest Bird Charter School and why, as I just said, it is a gem in our community and how it meets our student population and the needs that they have as they move into the world. Just a reminder to our listeners, we are recording this interview today. If you don't get to hear the whole thing, you can go to our website at krfy.org, and it will be on the website as a podcast. Just hit the podcast button. You'll find it later in the day. And so, introduction, Mary Jensen, what does the executive director of the Forest Bird Charter School do?
I'm a jack of all trades, Susie. I do so much, and I can take a hat off and change them around. Some people would equate it to being like a superintendent of a school, so I handle budgeting and running the school, but I can also help fix a toilet, run the van. It's a small school, so we have to be able to do everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you say a small school,
yes,
it still has a population of how many students?
Well, we are 6 through 12 school, and we have we're close to 300 students when the school year starts. It's a school of choice, so the parents and students decide whether or not their kids should go to our school because we're specialized in project-based learning and mastery. So not all people fit within our school, but we love every student that comes through, and the kids who choose our school generally thrive and do really well.
Mm, and you do have, as you say, a person of many hats.
Yes.
Because that's what it takes.
It does.
And how long have you been doing this position?
Well, I have been at the school since they opened up the high school in 2009, and I think I took over the leadership role a couple years after that. It all kind of blurs together after a while. I've been there forever, almost.
Irreplaceable is what it sounds like.
Oh, no. I just work really hard and try to do the best I can.
So. Yeah, because you believe in what is being offered.
I do.
To students.
I do. I believe in treating our students like human beings and individuals. Mm-hmm. And I believe that education isn't always a test. And so that's why we focus on hands-on learning and having the students show us their applications to what they're learning instead of a multiple choice test. Yeah.
It sounds like a place for young people to thrive.
Oh, absolutely.
It is.
What do you think, Wendy?
Yeah, well, Wendy, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up there and what your feelings are.
Okay, well, when Mary said that she couldn't remember how long she's been there exactly in this administrative position, I was thinking I can't remember either, except that I took over Mary's job when she went into the administrative position. Mm-hmm. I think it was 2010 or 2011, something like that, but before that, I taught in Bonners Ferry for 14 years. I was Mrs. Seeley, and I taught at the University of Idaho for 3 years. And then I decided to come to the charter school because of the freedom, because it is a school truly of choice, like Mary just said, but also a school of choice for teachers. Mm-hmm. So we create our own curriculum. We align our curriculum to the state standards. A lot of our curriculum is, and we'll talk about this later with project-based learning, but a lot of our curriculum is also free choice by students. And so the freedom factor is why I work there. It's also based on, and this always sounds strange, but it's the truth, I also work there because of the love. Mm-hmm. It's a loving school. It's a kind school. Mm-hmm. And the kids who come in and think it's your everyday, run-of-the-mill high school, it's not.
So one of the things you mentioned is that the students, the teachers have a choice in how they develop their pedagogy and curriculum, but the students also have a choice. What does having a choice mean to a young person? What do you see develops in them?
So choice creates metacognition. It helps to foster thinking about how you think and why you think that way. And when kids have choice, it's not just like, should I read this novel or this novel? It's more of a, why do I need to read this novel for myself? So it's a personal growth. It's not simply making a choice. It's making a choice for one's self to be a better person.
Do you think, because nowadays we're hearing the term independent thinkers. Do you think that this type of curriculum, this choice curriculum,
that is what we are.
It is
why I'm there. That's why these kids are choosing to be there. It's a different style of learning, a different way of thinking, and modifying thinking and curriculum to accommodate what they need at that time. Because we have been teaching traditional education for millennium, and it doesn't work for everybody. For some kids, it's great. I like teaching traditional education. I think it's fun, you know, out of a textbook. But this meets the learner's needs.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we really focus on is a healthy debate. So we have students and families from all different ideas and spectrums, and that is what makes us great, because what we teach them is healthy debate of having evidence and showing why you believe something is a good thing and listening to other people why they believe something different is also a good thing.
So the healthy debate is within yourself too.
Yes.
Why do I believe this? Why is this important? And how do I see it? So I was part of the Waldorf School for 26 years.
Yes.
And one of the things in our pedagogy, in our curriculum, was to create independent, free-thinking human beings so they can impart direction and purpose into their lives. That was kind of a saying we had. But you have to have a delivery of the curriculum in such a way that it actually does that. So one of the things was observation. You know, you create, just as an example, maybe you tell a story and you create beautiful words around that story. So what is happening in their brain? They're forming pictures and developing thinking. And neural pathways are forming. So it sounds like that's key in what you do.
Right. It is. It's also key with social emotional learning. So when we teach the way we teach, like with project-based learning, you can't just be a teacher going in and saying, you're doing a project. It's not like that. You need to know the student. And there's so much more depth to our school than simply, here's an assignment, here's your choice. What are you going to do? It's more like, oh my gosh, you've just been through this turmoil in your life. How can you address this need to start to heal through this project? And I'm not kidding. It gets really deep. It's about the student. It's about the student's needs, not just, you know, for cognition, but for their soul.
Right. So how does a teacher with, I'll say, 20 students times six know those students? How do you develop a knowing of the student and their individual needs? Because that's what
right.
you just said.
Right. Well, we have advisory every day, and advisory starts every single day, and it's for 30 minutes, and it is simply a class to get to know each other, to love each other, to reach out and see what each other's lives are like so that we have some continuity. We know that we're all the same and we're all different, and it's one of my favorite classes just because we can sit and talk just like this for a half an hour and we know each other and we can love each other and help each other.
What kind of questions do you ask? I mean, we're talking sixth graders are participating.
Sixth to 11th or 12th.
And getting to know you kind of, what did you call that morning? 30-minute?
Advisory.
Advisory.
Or ADVO. Yes.
Yeah. So what kind of questions, how do you, this might be new, by the time they're in 8th grade or 10th grade, they're used to going inward and reflecting and sharing. How do you start that process with young children?
It's difficult because our society has been so closed off lately. It is, but I think Monday mornings for most of us are, how was your weekend? What did you do? Which is very opening.
Simple
and
questions.
Simple. Okay. And then some kids really get into it and other kids don't want to talk about it. But at least they know.
The environment has been formed and they know that they could if they, at some point in time, if they're ready.
Right.
And I think it builds empathy when they know what's going on in everybody's lives, what's going on in the staff members' lives, what's going on in each other's lives. That which builds the caring atmosphere amongst each other.
So there's why empathy is important, really just listening. So do you teach students how to listen?
Ooh, we try.
You can't they make. Have a lot of energy, right?
Right. We try. We try to really teach kids how to empower themselves, how to advocate for themselves. That's why it's called advocacy, how to listen to others and just keep doing it over and over and over and build that community and try to help build that self-esteem. That is the focus of that class. And it definitely spills over into other classes. And like I say, there's a lot of love in that school and a lot of understanding and just care about each other.
Right. So you mentioned, Mary, that it's really geared towards the individual student and is this the right place for me?
Yes.
And we're not talking about just the student, we're talking about the whole family.
Correct. Yes.
So what how does a family figure out if this is the right place?
Oh, everybody has different reasons to come to the school. So I don't think I can answer that in a broad sense, but I do.
Process maybe.
Process. Yeah. I do know that often our families hear from other families how great our school is. And so they come and do a tour with us, talk with us. Their students can shadow a day to see if they like it too. But I find that many people have indicated that they come for a different choice in education. They want their students to have hands-on experiences. They like the small community, the small class sizes. Generally, it's 10 to 15 kids in a class. So there's a lot of individual one-on-one time with their teachers. They seem to enjoy our Friday, we call it RODES, Required Online Access Days, because in the afternoons, if the students need additional tutoring help from their individual teachers, they can come in and get that during that time.
That's very valuable time because a lot of times you don't have one-on-one time with teachers. So that's 3 hours that are open just for the kids with individual tutoring.
Well, that's amazing. That's on Friday.
That's on Fridays, yeah. And so we have our staff meetings in the mornings, so we're not taking additional time out of the day. So we don't have early out days because we have the Fridays to have the meetings and the tutoring time at the same time.
A lot going on there. We kind of just jumped in and started flowing into whole picture of what's going on and why it's so unique and
that's
wonderful.
That's just how the school is, too. Yeah. That's why we just jumped into it. This is the way
thing.
It is.
Yeah. But there are some specific questions that I have written down.
Okay.
So there is still a need to describe what a charter school is. I mean, just for the people that are listening for the first time to the fact that we have Forest Bird Charter School here in our community. You mentioned smaller classes. You mentioned project-based learning and mastery, which we will hear more about. But what makes Forest Bird Charter School the wonderful charter school that it is? What is charter school?
Well, in Idaho, the definition of charter school is different than what media portrays nationally. So in Idaho, a charter school is a public school funded with public dollars. So we are responsible for the same standards as a traditional school. The difference is a charter school has a particular philosophy that they must adhere to, and our philosophy is project-based learning, building positive relationships with students and families, and mastery-based learning. And so we need to always work within those ideologies. That did not come out quite right.
I got it, though.
Yeah.
Ideologies.
Yes.
And really, in preparing our students for tomorrow, mm-hmm. our tomorrows today are so strange. I mean, we live in this world that is, wow, okay, we won't get into that, but they need to be prepared for it. Mm-hmm. These are our future voters,
yeah.
and they need to be able to stand up for themselves. And that's part of our charter school also. I'm sounding like Mary now. also, it's just making sure they're ready for stepping outside of the building.
And then what a lot of people don't realize is charter school actually in Idaho has more oversight. We have more people we have to report to. So we report to the state and we report to the federal government just as a traditional school, but we also report to our authorizing entity. And our authorizing entity is Lake Pend'Oreille School District. They are absolutely amazing to work with, I have to say. They're very supportive of us as a charter school. The board is wonderful. The LPOSD board is wonderful. So we report to them on how we're doing financially, how we're doing academically, and if we're adhering to our mission and philosophy. What people don't realize is that we do not get levy money. So we run on just the state and federal money. And so we report to Lake Pend'Oreille School District that we're maintaining our budgets in an appropriate way.
And do you do fundraising?
We try to. Fundraising sometimes is difficult just because our poverty rate in our school is pretty high. So our entire staff feels this. It's hard to ask our families for more money when they're struggling sometimes themselves. Mm-hmm. But we do some fundraising events like Monster Mash Dash, which helps fund our field trips. We love donations and fundraising if people want to help out with that. Another roadblock for fundraising is we're a very small staff and
time.
It takes time.
I believe.
Yes.
That.
And I don't want to burn out our people who are doing such a wonderful mm-hmm. job.
Very smart. Mm-hmm. What about grant writing?
Oh, yes. We write grants. I would love some help with grant writing. There's so much out there. Mm-hmm. But our teachers do put in for grants. We get some wonderful grants on occasion. Yes.
Well, I feel like, okay, so that's an overview of how charters work. Do you have a board of directors also or just?
We do. We have. It's a self-perpetuating board of directors, which means they're not voted in by the community. So if someone's interested in the vote, entering the board, they can petition the board to become a board member. And then the board interviews them to see if they fit. One of the reasons they're not voted in is we have to ensure the board members are completely 100% invested with the mission and philosophy of the school. And that is really important for maintaining our charter. So if we have someone come in that is not that invested in with the school, it can disrupt the entire
You want
philosophy.
To really vet those new trustees for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, our board is absolutely incredible. Woo-hoo! They are hardworking. They attend staff meetings.
Yep.
They are very aware of how they want to keep the school.
Mm-hmm.
They're amazing. I can't say enough good things about them.
So it sounds like we have a really good working board
Absolutely.
That is supportive of the mission and the work that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So how is the work going as far as the successes and just how has the year been going so far?
Wendy, you want to take this one?
Wow, it's been...
Successes and challenges.
Oh, yes. We lost our principal last summer.
Mm-hmm. I think it's okay to say his name and honor him for a
Eric
moment.
Eric Fulgenzi.
Mm-hmm.
An amazing man.
Yes.
So it's been hard.
Yeah.
But Misty Raines stepped up and she said, I will do this year for us. And she had been a teacher, and then she had been a part-time administrator. Mm-hmm. And she, wow, she's done a great job. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't know. It's hard to, not that she followed in his footsteps, but it's hard to take over the job of such a strong man.
He was really loved, too.
Eric is one of the strongest men I ever knew.
I think we had him in here.
You did. He dynamic, kind, logical.
Yeah.
Built relationships with kids that still
he helped shore up the Forest Bird Charter School and keep it strong.
Yes. Yeah.
So we've been trying to carry on a lot for Eric. Mm-hmm. You know, we did a memorial for him early on, and we had the wristbands, and a lot of kids still wear them. Yeah. And we're trying to be kind, and we're trying to be loving in all the character traits that he's so easily demonstrated. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a hard year, honestly, but, you know, death of such an aspiration always is hard, whether you're 12 years old or 85, you know, it's just hard. Mm-hmm. So,
as it should be with someone like
right,
that.
Right. You know? Mm-hmm. Right.
And so that was a challenge, mm-hmm. And the it really gives the students an opportunity to participate and understand things a little bit more. But as you say, it's, So what else has come about?
This year, we're making changes for next year.
All right.
Uh-huh. So we've been on a trimester system since we started, basically, the high school. And now both the middle school and high school are going to a semester system. And this will be good because it's an easier transition for, it coincides with Lake Ponderay School District, which Mary can talk about more. Mm-hmm. But it also is going to take our Tri-3 project-based learning unit that we usually just do in May, and it's going to spread it out throughout the entire year. So all individual classrooms will be doing the projects that are the type that I talked about before that aren't just projects. They're student-inspired, student-driven projects mm-hmm. within each classroom.
I'd like to explore that a little bit more. Project-based mm-hmm. learning mm-hmm. with mastery.
Yes.
And mastery.
Uh-huh.
So why don't you just try to give us a picture. A student comes up with an idea,
right.
And they work with their teacher,
uh-huh.
And they have certain obligations to not just kind of, let's just try this and see how fun it is. It's to actually master
it something. It is a hard process for the teacher, because the teacher is not just the mentor, but they're also the cheerleader, but they are also the inquiry base for the student. So when a student maybe gets a little stuck, they are the why, or how are you going to do this, or what are you going to do next, or are you sure this is the right way? Mm-hmm. You know, just that person. So an example is this trimester. Right now I am doing project-based learning in my English class, and one student said, "Wendy, since I've been born, the parking in downtown Sandpoint, Idaho, and the streets that continually change with lights, with stop signs, with, you know, bicycle walkways, it's ridiculous." I said, "Well, why don't you do a project on it? Find out what you can do." So he has been working on this project for 4 months. He has gone to he's gone to some meetings. He's done a ton of research, and he has created a model for downtown Sandpoint that he thinks will work a little bit better. And I said, "Well, geez, this is good timing, because, well, the city of Sandpoint's always talking about this. So let's maybe you should take it
present
in and present it." And so that would be the next step for this. He is just doing his final presentation to the class next week, and the class will give him feedback, and I'll give him feedback. But he's been working on it, and with this project, he's done an argumentative essay, he's done multiple, you know, expository paragraphs. He's done poetry with it. So it's this huge project that has multiple forms. And now he'll put it all together and say, this is what I think. And this is why I think this.
And I'm going to just give a shout out to our students who've graduated from FBCS or even were there for a while and left for various reasons. They continue these passions and these projects into their adult lives. Mm-hmm. We have had a student build their own tiny home and they're living in it as a project. We have a young man, I'm going to shout out to Riley Chapman. So Riley did this, he loved World War II history, so he built a mock tank that runs, that shoots potato candy. Awesome. Kind of. He's been all over the world with this tank to different museums, showed it around. There was a museum in, I cannot remember the name of the museum in Europe, that wanted him to leave the tank with them. And he said, no, I'm going to take this with me, this tank. So he actually brought it by the school a couple weeks ago to show what he can do. He graduated, I think, 5 years ago. And he's graduating college now under a science degree. So these projects aren't just for this one moment in their life. They continue on
it
and
sets
it builds
them up. Yes. Understand, I was just thinking of the word voice.
Oh, yes.
That they have a voice. You don't like the parking, but through a process, and it's not just, it's very dynamic, and it has a lot of variation to the things that they would be working on, as you said, learning how to present to Jason Welker, our city planner.
That's right.
exactly what he's trying to say, becoming articulate, speech, writing, and the research. It's got a lot of facets to it.
They're skills they're going to use for the rest of their lives. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are some, you mentioned the one about the parking. And you've mentioned, Mary, the one about the tank. Because student Riley was really into World War II.
History. Yeah.
History. And that makes sense. Just maybe throw out a few others just to give a picture of how it spreads out, and it's bigger than just, I'm going to read a book about that. It's, as you say, mastery.
Right.
Project-based learning and mastery.
Right. Oh, we have a young lady who graduated a couple years ago. Her whole business plan right now started with one of these projects. She developed a culinary arts project where she was going to sell baked goods, and now it's her livelihood, is it one of the examples. We have authors, people who wrote books and became published through this process, and they're continuing to publish their novels that they're writing. They're getting better as they get older. Do you have others?
There, oh my gosh,
there's so many.
Hundreds of them. One student thought, well, you know what, when the festival comes around, there's no way to get from downtown to the festival. I'm going to be the transportation route. So he created a bike buggy thing. It was awesome. I mean, it's beautiful. And it had two or three seats in the back. And then he would ride the bike and he would pick up people. And then he decided he might not want to be mulling with that late night crowd, being a 16 or 17 year old. But he still has the bike, so he might do it in the future when he's a little bit older. A lot of the projects are based on research. We've had ancestry, you know, just like one girl really wanted to know about her grandpa, who had kind of a notorious reputation, and she found out all about him, and now she knows, and she didn't know about that before. So it can be, you know, it can be big world scale. How do we decrease pollution in Sandpoint? And a lot of kids have done that, you know, picked up roadside trash and weighed it. How much trash is there? And how can we prevent this from happening? I would love to see a project from here to Coeur d'Alene based on roadside trash. And how can we prevent this?
Prevent it.
Yes.
Like get the awareness of people traveling on the road in their cars to say, maybe provide trash bags for cars or something.
Exactly.
So one question. I just want our listeners to know this is 88.5 KRFY. It is your independent community-based radio station here in North Idaho. We also stream at KRFY.org, and I'm here talking with folks from the Forest Bird Charter School, which we are very fortunate to have in our community, Executive Director Mary Jensen, and high school English teacher and in charge of project-based learning and mastery, Wendy Thompson. This is riveting. So many questions come up for me. So does each student have a kind of a faculty advisor? And because some of these projects would entail five different teachers,
yes,
like math,
right,
and drawing,
right,
or drafting, uh-huh, you know. So how
you're absolutely right.
So they have one teacher that kind of.
So you always have your advisory or advo teacher. Mm-hmm. They are your backbone. They're always there. They know exactly what you're doing. They help you to find a mentor. And in the past, mentors could be in or outside the school. And this year, they're inside the school because we're going toward classroom project-based learning next year. So basically, the mentor is the person who has the expertise. And all teachers have different interests and expertises. And so the students would approach somebody who they think might be a good mentor for them, ask them. And so they have a first and then a secondary mentor plus their ADVO teacher.
The ADVO kind of guides and directs and checks in and see how it's going.
A lot of times their secondary mentor will be somebody like their parents. Mm. You know, if they're rebuilding an engine and they can't bring the truck to school, well, they can be doing the research and, you know, doing the YouTube things that they need to do at school and figuring out what they're going to do at home. And then their parents will oversee them at home.
What if a student doesn't have any idea of what they want to do? Is there enough variety? And is there a time when the past projects were displayed or so they could get inspired? Where does the inspiration?
That's a good question, because there are a few students who are hesitant to work on their own. It's scary. Mm-hmm. You, like you said, you have to have your voice. You have to know where you want to go. There has to be a target. Mm-hmm. And some kids don't have that target in mind. And so we do have a class that's run by one teacher, and she will help them to create a project that's based on a whole classroom goal.
And I want to say that Wendy's describing the high school concept of project-based learning at our school. 6 through 7 and 8, we really focus on projects created by the teacher where the students have some choice, and we scaffold that up to the moment where they are able to do this. So we, a sixth grader, a seventh grader, don't just jump in and choose their own projects. And
they're not building tanks.
And how does a radio work? I think I'll build a radio station.
Right. So, yeah.
Because I don't even know yet. It's still a mystery.
Radio. We're always learning, aren't we?
I know.
But just like, you know, doing a mentorship with you guys here, if a student is really interested in that, let's get you in here. You could be their mentor. You know, one of us would work with them at the school, and they could do what they want to do and
but
explore.
You're bringing it back into the classroom now, so someone would go to the classroom. Maybe they'd have a field day once in a while to us, something like a station.
Right.
Wow. Well, good job.
Thanks.
What else about project-based learning and mastery that we want to know? I think we've kind of covered it.
Well, it's just, it goes back to the freedom. It is so freeing for kids. You're still hitting the standards. You're still doing what the state wants of public schools. But it's just, it's so specialized. It's it's created by and for the student.
So they're vested in a different way.
I also think it is really beneficial for families because it allows the families to have some say on their students' education, too. They may encourage their students to look into a particular thing or research particular projects that adheres to their own family values, too. So it allows the parents to also have a freedom of education that's not always available in a more traditional school.
So just trying to get a sense of, you still have basic English writing through the process, math, STEM is big probably.
Yeah, and that's actually so big that we have adopted the STEM diploma this year. So starting next year, if the students meet the requirements of the state STEM diploma, they will have a designated diploma that says STEM on it. And a lot of universities, technical schools, and jobs are giving students who have STEM diplomas a higher rank in the ability to have a career with them.
So it's, you know, awesome. One of the things I heard recently is that AI, which I know nothing about, I'm deciding now not to really think about it too much. There's plenty else to think about.
Yeah.
But that it is going to be front and center. And so you wonder, as things change so rapidly, what basic curriculum foundation do they need to have to go into anything, that including something as new as AI?
I think, I know you're going to chime in, but I think really the most important part of education is to develop a person who can think.
That's what I was going to say too.
Me
exactly.
Too.
Yeah.
You have to think.
You have to be able to think and go through. There's so much. We can Google answers to anything, and there's going to be as many different answers as sites there are. They have to think through the process and determine what's actual fact, and then they need to develop their own ideas and opinions and go from there. So thinking is the most
important.
That's
why I started with metacognition. It's all about thinking about how to think so that you know how to think so you can make good decisions, so you can have a happy life.
Yes, yes.
So tell us a little bit more about that. I think it's very exciting.
I do too. Like with AI, we teach to AI. We teach the kids how to use it. So if they accidentally plagiarize using AI, which now is considered plagiarism, even though you can't find it necessarily, if the kids can learn how to cite it, how to say, well, you know, I got this idea from a computer, that's okay.
And then I made it better.
Yes.
Then I made it better. Yeah. I see AI, if we teach it appropriately on how to use AI, it's just like when the calculators came out. And so if we can teach and have the students understand that it's a tool, not a crutch, and to use it in a way to enhance their thinking and enhance their movement forward in their own lives, but in the community and the world, then we've done our job.
Excellent.
It's true.
So back to, we are kind of going in a lot of directions here. But
I love it. This is fun.
You've had almost, what are we, April here. You just came back from spring break.
Yes.
But that was fun.
We have a two-week spring break.
Yes, as you should. It's a long winter. And so what's coming up? Where are we at? And
Well, I wanted to say one thing about this school and what's coming up is graduation. Every year we have several students who graduate with their associate's degree from North Idaho College before they graduate with their high school diploma. So higher education, kids who really like to push themselves, kids who enjoy learning, kids who want a free first 2 years of education, this is a great school for that. It's like, what more can you ask for?
It's a lot of flexibility.
A lot of flexibility. So your higher level learners also really have a niche in here. And I just wanted to make sure that that was known, because so many of our kids today, they're all over the place. The traditional education is great, but we don't have very many traditional kids anymore. So
it's well said.
That is very well said. And you mentioned they love learning. How do you instill the love of learning into a student that could last a lifetime?
Oh, you work with their passions and what their interests are.
Kind of the project-based.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I can safely say they may not love everything that they're learning while they're in.
But the process of learning.
But they love the process of learning, especially when they're deep diving into things they're really interested in, which becomes often what they do as adults.
That's what I always tell them, save every project you do, because you don't know when you want to dive in deeper. And so they have everything, you know.
You liked it in eighth grade.
Right.
You liked it in ninth grade. It might be something that stays with you.
Right. Or you've done this project for math class, mm-hmm. and you can do the same project, go deeper and add English elements or mm-hmm. history elements to it. They don't have to deviate mm-hmm. and create new projects all the time. They can just keep going deeper and deeper into what they really like right. to know.
Like a lot of our history buffs, you know, mm-hmm. you can go so many different ways with that. I have kids who are researching different battles I didn't even know about, like the Finnish Soviet battle of 1919. I mean, I'm learning so much, mm-hmm. just me as a teacher. And that's what's fun about teaching at the school, because you learn everything the kids learn that you never even thought of learning before.
And those awesome. Kind of projects, what I love about those is they learn more about, let's say, the history project, mm-hmm. but then they're applying it to different conflicts that are happening right now. And mm-hmm. they'll go, well, how come that's uh-huh. happening? Because that didn't work uh-huh. in that conflict. I'm thinking, right. too, mental health. We have some kids experiencing depression nowadays. So their projects or what they want to learn about is more about depression mm-hmm. or more about mm-hmm. mental health. And then it blooms into larger, beautiful things that they're helping other students
right.
along the way from what they've learned.
So right there, you're describing community.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. something essential in a human mm-hmm. is to connect with other humans. So would you say the environment at Forest Bird Charter School is induces that feeling of community?
I don't use the word love lightly.
Yeah. Community is part of our mission statement. Mm-hmm. It's one of... It's really, after COVID, some people preferred to be in online school. Oh. And it was hard to transition going from those abilities to have an online school for our school, because online schooling doesn't enhance our community. So one mm-hmm. of the messages we've been working really diligently on the last couple of years is we are a community. You need to be at school. You mm-hmm. need to attend. You need to participate and work with mm-hmm. people and solve conflict issues. Mm-hmm. It is part of being human, is to be able to interact and see people face-to-face and work as a community.
I see the teachers really knowing the students, as you talked about right. in the beginning, as essential, and because they will pick up on what's going on with that student. Mm-hmm. And help guide them to a place of resolving something or mm-hmm. Finding their path, their niche, whatever, and shining in that process.
Right.
Because we all want to be seen and heard, right?
Especially
right.
teenagers.
Especially teenagers.
Or there's some days that we don't want to be right. seen and heard because we've had a rough night. And
that's
so
right.
we also know the days, mm-hmm. those moments that the student doesn't need to have
right.
that outwardly spotlights mm-hmm. that they just need some time.
They need a cubby to go and
yes.
rest uh-huh. in. So do you have that option?
Absolutely.
That a student might be having an off day and mm-hmm. what you can do to support that?
Mm-hmm. We always try to accommodate. I have one little girl who comes in every day, "Wendy, can I sit on the bouncy ball instead of in my desk?" And it's like, mm-hmm. well, sure, as long as you're pretty good. And then mm-hmm. she's so good mm-hmm. because she's sitting on, and she's 17 years old, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, she just loves that. Or, you know, like what you're talking about, the student who's had a rough night because his parents were fighting or because he stayed up all night and was watching videos, whatever it is, there's always a place to go. And a lot mm-hmm. of times they'll talk with Mary, mm-hmm. you know, and then she'll say, "Why don't you do this?" And it's like a compromise for maybe a half an hour, and then mm-hmm. they'll usually come back to class.
Yeah, because I believe that one of the things we're also helping teach students is how to regulate themselves and all the outward stresses and still continue mm-hmm. to do the job that's necessary for the day. So they may need a little break. They may need to talk to somebody, and then mm-hmm. they are ready to go back and continue mm-hmm. What they need to do in the education.
It sounds like all the teachers are available.
Oh, yeah.
To the students. I
yep.
mean, it might not even be your student if
right.
you're a teacher.
Oh, absolutely.
You're kind of tuned in mm-hmm. To that student in mm-hmm. the moment, maybe even.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And then the physical environment. You have a beautiful mm-hmm. site. Very
yes.
fortunate.
We are so lucky.
You want a suntan? Come to our school.
You've got the sun,
yeah.
huh?
Yeah. Yeah, there's it's huge beautiful. Windows and light comes in when there's light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a huge field. And mm-hmm.
Do you have adequate space for what your current?
It's shrinking with development mm-hmm. developments around the school. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's shrinking. Mm-hmm. In a perfect world, I would have acreage and we would have hiking trails uh-huh. and so we can do mountain biking and whatnot. But for the time being, I think it works really well right. for our needs.
And what Mary was just saying, a lot of times when we need a break, we'll go outside, mm-hmm. take a walk around the neighborhoods, especially the younger kids will go every single day and take a break. Mm-hmm. And that's really nice. We get out and we're having a sports days, mm-hmm. you know, once a trimester or so. And that's really fun. Go down to Memorial Field and play kickball or just something fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and to be fair, our staff members also need to get our wiggles out, too. Uh-huh. We need to get out in the fresh air uh-huh. And exercise and rejuvenate. So
show off my kickball skills.
and move our bodies.
I think I've seen that. She's very competitive. She's amazing.
As long as the ball goes over everybody's head.
Well,
home run.
I love talking about Forest Bird Charter School and all the wonderful things that are offered to our students, our children, our precious children. And we're so fortunate to have that school there.
Oh,
and you
yes.
both make it possible. It's not just a job. It's a passion, I can tell.
Yeah, it is.
I hear it very clearly. I know you have open enrollment right now, and we mm-hmm. should talk about that real quick. Briefly, and mm-hmm. so tell us about that.
So right now we are taking applications through the open enrollment process, and we are taking applications until April 17th. If we have more applicants than spaces, because we are bound to a certain number at the school being a charter, we will have the lottery process where we randomly choose students through a drawing who fills the spaces. Now, after that, if there's still spaces available, we still take applications and take kids, but this is the big push. If somebody wants to definitely know that they have a spot in the school before the end of school so they can prepare, this is the time to get those applications in.
Is there I wouldn't call it a screening process, but during the application process, do you meet with the student and the parents in order to kind of answer questions, see if it's a good fit?
The families may have tours, they can meet with us, or they can just put in an application. That's not a requirement to put in an application to meet with us.
Okay.
And the applications are very generic. We cannot pick and choose the kids. It's who puts in the application. We don't have questions on special ed. Mm-hmm. We don't have questions about discipline issues. After we know we have a spot for them, then we get into the more the details, their special ed files or
their
needs that they may need. That is a misnomer. A lot of people think charter schools pick and choose kids, and we definitely do not.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. That is a good thing. It mm-hmm. gives everybody an equal opportunity to be in a school that they would like their students to be in.
Mm-hmm. With a certain pedagogical approach that mm-hmm. May meet their students' needs, their child's needs.
That's right.
Yeah.
What did you have something else to say?
I think you just got it exactly right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So someone's interested. You have a great website, and it's called ForestBirdCharterSchool.org.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much all they need to know because everything's there. Are there applications available? Can you apply online?
You can apply online. So when you get on the website, in the middle, there's a video playing. In the middle of the video, there's a button that says apply. Pick that and it can be online. I do want to give everybody a heads up. Forest is FORREST. We're named after an amazing innovator that was a member of Sandpoint community that mm-hmm. we've lost a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so we like to honor his name, Forrest M. Bird, for all the cool things, the innovation changes he's done for the good of the world.
Right.
He really believed in the charter school.
He did.
And so he made sure that it would be there for a long time. Mm-hmm.
Well, he wanted to participate with it. We don't get any endowments or money from mm-hmm. the family or anything mm-hmm. like that. We when we named the school, we wanted to have his name on it because he represented everything that we believed in, innovation, thinking, deeper strategic outcomes. And so we just wanted to honor him.
Good job.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't sure we'd fill a whole hour, but we're there.
Oh, we could probably go another hour, Susie.
I know.
We love our school.
We do.
So we want to have you come back, of course. All the best with what's coming up. They're doing an amazing job for our children here in our community. It really matters. So thank you.
Thank you, Susie.
And I've been talking with Mary Jensen. She's the executive director of the Forest Bird Charter School and English teacher of the high at the high school, Wendy Thompson. Both have a lot of passion for what they're doing, and we appreciate that. We're going to go out with a song. This is Doc Watson, Pete Seeger, Sweet Honey on the Rocks. It's called This Land is Your Land.
Woohoo!
Right. And this interview podcast will be available on our website, krfy.org, later in the day.
Awesome.
So thank you very much, everyone. Thanks for coming in.
Have a beautiful
day. Thank you.